A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today is November 24th. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. It's right at this time of the year when our country descends into a fierce debate. When is it okay to start playing Christmas music? Now, there are those, when the temperatures dip below 40 degrees, start to hum. At the first little twinkling of a snowfall, you can hear them walking across campus singing, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas." On the other hand, there are those who will not even hum a bar of Silent Night until well into December. These are the kind of people who complain that every year Target takes out their Christmas decorations earlier and earlier. They're stubborn. Now, I'm sure that you would know which side you fall on, and I'm sure that you also know that the other side drives you just a little bit crazy. Now, I bring this up not because I want to enter into this rather entertaining debate when you think it's okay to listen to Christmas music. I bring this up because I want us to think about the first hymn that we sang this morning. Now, there are at least 101 reasons that I love working with our cantor, Jamie Bob, but this week he gave me yet another reason. He proposed that we sing today, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." So, why is that such an interesting hymn choice? Why does that make me respect and love Jamie even more? Because that is a Palm Sunday hymn. I bet that you have never sung that hymn or heard that tune out of the context of Palm Sunday. And here we sang it today, on November 24th. So why? Why would we sing "All Glory, Laud, and Honor" today? Well, today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of our liturgical year. You might think of this as the church's New Year's Eve celebration. And on this Christ the King Sunday, on New Year's Eve for the church, our gospel has us look back to that other great celebration, Easter. To be precise, it actually has us look at the 3 days, Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter. So it seems appropriate for us to begin our worship with a hymn that we would only sing on Palm Sunday and today. Now, I called it Christ the King Sunday. I need to make an aside and recognize that there are certainly people in here that will take offense to that name. Christ the King, King is certainly gender specific. It might sound forceful, it might sound militant. There are some churches that prefer not to use the term Christ the King Sunday. They look for other titles like Reign of Christ Sunday. I urge you to not be distracted by the name this morning, Christ the King Sunday. I urge you to invest fully into the meaning or the significance of the day. So what is the meaning or the significance of Christ the King Sunday? To get at that meaning, we turn to the gospel. and our gospel depicts Jesus on the cross. That actually may seem like a strange choice. Why would we, on this great celebration day, on a day that is the exclamation point of the church year, the theological exclamation point, why do we picture Jesus on the cross, a Good Friday image, rather than the resurrected Jesus, an Easter image? Well, it's a good question. So let's dig a little bit deeper into today's gospel. Today we encounter Jesus on the cross. He's flanked by two criminals. There are people all around, leaders, soldiers, and they're mocking Jesus. They're all mocking him. They're saying, look, if you were the Savior, save yourself. If you really are the Messiah, come down, prove it. Save yourself. That's the context with which we begin our gospel. One of the criminals then joins in. He says, look, if you're the Savior, save yourself and us. Get us down off of this cross. I want us to think for just a minute about that mockery. Now, I think we're conditioned, of course, to say, oh, how offensive, they're mocking Jesus. But I think if we're being honest, a little bit of us resonates with that mocking. We want a God of action, a God that will do something. How many times have you watched the news or looked at the suffering of the world and thought, come on, God, if you're God, do something. I mean, save us. How often have you in your own suffering cried out, come on, God, I'm right here. I'm in need of salvation. I need some help. If you're the Savior, save me. Now, of course, in the context of today's gospel, it's mockery. But I don't think we have to go very far before that mockery actually resonates with our desire for God. If God is all-powerful, then we want our God to be a God of action. I don't think I'm off base when I say that at some point in our lives, we too have said, if you are the Savior, save us. Well, if that's the mockery, and if that does get at this idea that we want a God of action, why is it that we want a God that does something, a doer? Perhaps it's because we ourselves think that we need to be people of action, doers. Perhaps on this day that's the theological exclamation point, if we had to define our own faith or to make some kind of definition of salvation, it would incorporate action or doing. We might think, well, we have to have faith. Do we have enough faith? Does my faith look the way it should? We might ask whether we're doing enough or doing the right things. We think that we have to be people of action, doers. Now, being Lutheran, we might not want to admit it, but statistics show that most of us, whether we like to admit it or not, have some sort of checklist mentality when it comes to theology. Do I have all my bases covered? Have I actually done enough? So if that's where we are sitting when we describe our own theology, we can actually see this reflected back at us in today's gospel. The other criminal, the one that defends Jesus, actually uses this sort of checklist mentality. He says, well, we're getting what comes to us, but this Jesus, well, he's innocent. Do you see the logic? The logic is that some action deserves death and some action deserves life. And this criminal is saying, I know that my action is unforgivable. I'm getting what I deserve, but at least show respect for this guy. He didn't do anything wrong. So is it possible that we do function with these two big assumptions? The first assumption is that we want a God of action, a God that does something, a God that if you are the Savior, save us. We also work with this assumption that, well, what we do really matters. Our actions matter. Our faith matters. It matters for life. It matters for death. If those are two big assumptions that we hold as we come into this last Sunday of the church year, today's gospel has good news for both assumptions. The first, and think back to that conversation of Jesus with the second criminal, the first assumption is that we want a God who does something, a God of action. So how on the cross, this place of weakness, this place where Jesus couldn't possibly be doing something, how does he actually do something? He says to the criminal, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amazing words. From this position of weakness, this king is offering the greatest possible promise. Today you will be with me in paradise. What more could we want the Savior to do than to offer that promise? And especially in this place of weakness, we're getting such a strong word of good news. So if we're looking for a God who does something, in today's gospel, we have exactly that. An all-powerful God who's showing action, who's granting peace, who's granting salvation. But what about that second assumption? That assumption that what we do really matters, our faith, our actions, it matters. Well, let's go back to the mockery. Remember, Jesus is on the cross, and there's soldiers, and there's leaders, and they're saying, "Come on, if you're the Savior, save yourself." The criminal is saying, "If you're the Savior, save yourself and us." There's mockery going on, and what does Jesus do in response? The gospel makes it very clear. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Imagine that. They didn't even ask for forgiveness. At least that one criminal gave some sort of sign of faith. These people were just deep into the throes of mockery. They're looking at Jesus with disdain and mockery, and Jesus responds with grace. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Now, if the good news is we have a God of action, the great news is we have a God of action that is gracious even in the throes of mockery. Even when we have no idea what we're doing, Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." So today is Christ the King Sunday. I like thinking of it as New Year's Eve, but I like thinking of it more as this grand exclamation point at the end of the church year. And what do we learn? Well, we learn that two of our biggest assumptions and two of our biggest longings are addressed. We want a God that's doing something, a God that's active in the world. And today we get exactly that. We also want to know, well, where do we fit in? Our actions, our faith, how does God respond to us? And we hear that God's grace is bigger than even our mockery. So we sing. We sing this great Palm Sunday hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." If you go back and look at it after the service, read the words again, what it tells you is this. We give God glory, we give God thanks. And why do we do that? Because it's all we can do. It's all we can do in the face of this God who's great, who's doing, who's gracious. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.